Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Patrick O'Donovan, Minister for Higher Education and Fine Gael TD for Limerick County. Good morning to you.
Morning, Claire. Morning to your listeners.
And thanks for being with us this morning. Now, as far as this morning goes, in about half an hour or so, a bit with it, yourself and your colleagues in Fine Gael, you'll be voting on this programme for government. Isn't that right? And you would expect, I would imagine, it will be carried.
Well, look, we had a couple of meetings over the weekend. We had five of them for the membership and the local authority members, and the parliamentary party now are meeting today. And I was in Carlow and Charleville over the weekend, the two of them, and it was very positive, very upbeat. People have responded very positively to the work the negotiators have done, and wide-ranging questions yesterday in Charleville, same in Carlow the night before. And look, Fine Gael members and councillors are up for going into government. I think that's very evident from what I saw at the two meetings over the weekend, and look, okay, we see the results today at lunchtime.
And what concerns were raised with you in Carlow and Charleville?
So look, I think people were really focusing in on the things that we have gone out of our way to make sure that are in the programme for government. Things like the support for small business, childcare, rural development, agricultural support, nitrates directive, housing, infrastructure, the continued building of roads. We've discussed that umpteen times, myself and yourself, on this programme. So, like, I suppose I was in two rural meetings, so the issues would be the kind of issues that I would have as bread and butter issues in my own constituency. None of them really surprised me, because they were the things that we looked to put into the programme for government, and they were the things we had in our manifesto.
Right, so now let's move on to this issue of Michael Lowry, because Micheál Martin was asked about this yesterday, and he made this, I think, fairly extraordinary remark. He won't be in government to do any corruption. Now, you know that people are uncomfortable with Mr. Lowry's involvement in the coalition. We've seen that in a recent poll. What do you say to those voters who are worried about it?
Well, look, what I say is that the regional independent group are a group of independents, and they came together and they positioned themselves with the, I suppose, the stewardship of Michael Lowry's experience over many, many years in Dáil Éireann to negotiate a programme for government with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. They did that successfully, and he made it very clear from the start that he did not want to be a minister. He made it very clear from the start that he wouldn't be a minister, so he won't be Minister of State. And that position is the position going forward.
I suppose it's just interesting to assess that he was chief negotiator in the recent talk, so he was good enough to do that. He was good enough to set up the Ciarán Comhairle deal, but not acceptable, you know, not acceptable for him to be part of the government, you're saying?
Well, Michael Lowry, I'm not here to speak for Michael Lowry, I'm here to speak for myself and Fine Gael, but he made it very clear from the start that he wasn't going to take a government position, a Minister of State. And you know, the regional independent group are entitled to put forward whoever they see fit on their behalf, to negotiate on their behalf. And they did that. Noel Grealish and Sean Kenny and Marion Harkin were also part of that negotiating team. That's their prerogative. Mm. They put it to their members decide whether they go forward with it, and they have decided on that basis.
But how do you feel about the very person who was expelled by John Bruton being at the centre of the deal and perhaps at the centre of this government for the next 5 years?
Well, look, I mean, without repeating myself, he won't be in the government, and he's not going to be in the government. But the regional independent group came, I believe, with bona fides to try and do what other people decided not to do, which was opt out from farming any kind of a government and procrastinating, pretending they were interested in farming a government, which they weren't. The regional independent group did not do that. They came together as a cohesive group. They've negotiated on their behalf. They've put it to their seven TDs, and they're going forward now with two ministers of state and two ministers attending the cabinet, who will be also ministers of state.
I suppose my question for you is, you know, we remind ourselves that the tribunal found that he engaged in cynical and venal abuse of office. He disagrees with those findings. Are you comfortable being as involved as he is?
So look, I suppose to paraphrase what my colleague Norma Foley said yesterday, you know, all of us accept the findings of the tribunal, the Moriarty tribunal. And if there are fora in which that is to be discussed elsewhere, I think it's best that they're discussed elsewhere. And I don't think it's for me or anybody else to second guess what might come down the line. But I am very comfortable that the programme for government, as it has been negotiated, has been negotiated in good faith between two parties and a group of independents who have decided to come together of their own free will and their own volition to do what they believe is best by the people that voted for them.
Okay, well, what's your view on the setup in relation to the independents, where they'll operate in this sort of a halfway house when it comes to speaking rights, straddling government and opposition?
Well, I was kind of amused at the weekend listening to some of the commentary on this because, you know, this happened before. When we were in Confidence and Supply under Enda Kenny, Fianna Fáil would have been a party to a lot of the discussions, for instance, around the development of budgets and key policy matters. The then Taoiseach would have met the then leader of the opposition all of the time.
That's different though, isn't it? Isn't Confidence and Supply different to this deal?
No, it's not. It's actually, it sets a very clear precedent, if anything, because Confidence and Supply made sure that the government was able to bring in four budgets and provide stability. This deal does exactly the same thing, except it's five. There are a number of TDs who have given an indication that they're prepared to give confidence to this government and not the office holders.
But none of the Fianna Fáil people were ministers at that time in Confidence and Supply. I mean, that is the difference. These people are fully in, but also they want to be half out as well and shout from the sidelines. I mean, Dermot O'Hearn is writing today in the Mail. He says it goes completely against the spirit of our parliamentary democracy where the opposition holds the government to account. Are you saying that you disagree with that?
I absolutely disagree with it because Dermot O'Hearn's own party, when they were in opposition between 2016 and 2020, were in negotiations with the government routinely through Confidence and Supply to make sure that we had stability and to make sure that we had what other people were not going to do, which is provide a form of government that everybody else absented themselves from, but they could still be in opposition. So the Count Corla's ruling with regard to this, and ultimately the Count Corla's decision, I believe, is final. She has determined that there is precedent for this and they're not office holders. So not being an office holder and in the last all, the regional independent group, many of the regional independent groups voted consistently with the government but also held opposition positions and nobody had a difference with that.
I suppose the difference here is that on a Monday night you'll have Sean Canny in a room or on the phone with Simon Harris and with Micheál Martin, and then the next day you'll have colleagues of Sean Canny who are supposed to be supporting the government shouting at you if you're, you know, in a ministerial position, which I'm sure you expect you will be, across the lines. You know, it's a strange position for you to be in and for them to be in.
Well, it was also a strange position when we were in Confidence and Supply between 2016 and 2020 when we had the now Commissioner, Michael McGrath, working very closely with the then Minister for Finance and Public Expenditure, Pascal Donoghue, but also being the opposition spokesperson on finance. So, like, when you don't get a very clear outcome from the electorate, which we didn't with a straightforward majority, you have to make sure that you form a government that's going to last and it'll be stable. But at the same time, recognise that non-office holders are entitled to speaking time in the Dáil when they're not members of political parties that form the government. That's the situation here and that precedent has been set.
So you took a lot, really, to get these over the line. You accepted a lot to get these regional independents in.
I don't accept that. I think that if you look at the programme for government, Fine Gael's fingerprints are all over the place, whether it is in relation to the Marine, whether it's in relation to agriculture, rural development, housing, my own department, further and higher education, health, an awful lot of what's in our manifesto is flat bang inside in the middle of this. So, by the way, when you don't win an outright majority, you have to build consensus.
Yeah, the other thing, it seems there were concessions that are coming down the tracks. This is a fix yet to come on travel expenses for junior ministers. Now, you've served in that role and you live a distance from Leinster House. Would you have said that there's considerable hardship when it comes to commuting and staying in Dublin?
I would say that when the only people that are attending the Dáil and have to do so and aren't entitled to claim a vouched expense for their overnight expense is an office holder, that is an anomaly. And I think it's long overdue that it should be addressed, and whether it is vouched, I think there will be wide support for that the person produces a receipt.
But this wasn't raised in the last government, was it? None of you said it.
It wasn't, but I think that, like, with the cost of hotels and everything else and the availability, that is obviously becoming more and more of an issue. But look, this is a standard practice in the civil and public service, and I don't see why office holders who live remotely, whether that's in Donegal or Kerry or Waterford, should be treated any differently to a secretary general in a government department or a principal officer in a government department.
So the super juniors then will get a salary of 170,000, and then this will be on top of that.
So my understanding is that that has to be worked out and it will require legislation.
But you think it's justified?
I think that if a senior public servant, whether that's the secretary general of a department or a principal officer in a department, or the director general of RTE, when they're away from their place of work, and they incur an expense, whether that's overnight accommodation or whatever, or mileage and subsistence, if they produce receipts, I don't see that that is an illegitimate claim. And I don't think anybody in the public sector, be it in the commercial semi-state sector in RTE or anywhere else, would see it as an illegitimate expense.
OK, now, we know you're in the picture for a senior ministerial role, and there are lots of people reporting that decisions have already been made on this front. But would you be content to remain in your role in higher education, or have your eye on something else?
I don't have my eye on anything, because the last time round, Claire, you will recall, I think there was banner headlines on the morning of Simon Harris's first government that I was to be left where I was, which was a Minister of State, and there was a consensus around that. So one thing in fairness about the predictions in this is that normally they're universally wrong. So look, I leave the predictions to people who make predictions, and whatever Simon Harris asks me to do, I'll be only too glad to do it.
Has he had the conversation with you yet?
No.
No chat at all?
We talk all the time about the programme for government and everything else, but we haven't spoken about any positions or anything like that.
You'll know about that on Wednesday then, is that it?
Yeah, that's how it works. So after the Taoiseach is elected, he will go to our snooks run. He will pick his team. Simon Harris will pick his team, and the government will be formed thereafter.
All right. Well, listen, we might talk to you after that. Thank you so much for being with us. Patrick O'Donovan there from Fine Gael. Coming up next, Brian O'Connell reports on services for people with addiction and mental illness. That's after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.